And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes. But in all of my years of public life, I have never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. And in all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination, because people have got to know whether or not their president is a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
Retard. You say funny things.
Well, as me and Dave sit here and laugh at you, Brent, I'm glad we have you.
Thank you.
Because we need a very eccentric, OCD-ish person here, because I'm the guy that you love to hate, and Dave brings the information. And without the three of us, you would not have a good podcast.
I'm an enigma. I'm undefinable. You can't figure me out.
Yeah. And I just found out today that I am Mex Jukin.
That's true.
Yep. That is an inside joke that nobody got.
That's all right.
That's okay.
A couple people might have got it.
Yeah. So I bought one of the Italian stovetop espresso makers.
Are you making this up right now?
No, I'm not.
It sounds like you really started slow on that.
No, I've looked at them for a while. I mean, you're a coffee lover. I think you'll like it. Have you seen them?
What is it?
They're like aluminum. It's just like a shiny metal stovetop coffee maker. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't say it's a coffee maker. It says it's an espresso maker. It's kind of like a pressurized percolator.
Okay. Yeah.
But I bought it and it said to, like, you know, your first batch, it said to dump out just to make sure it's cleaned everything out.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you know, this one's for the homies. And then this morning I made a batch of it and, you know, put in all the grounds, hooked it up, poured it, and took a sip of it. And I've got an espresso maker at the house, and you make it and you taste it, and it's a pretty strong, bitter espresso.
Yeah, that's good
and
stuff.
I made it out of this stuff. It's a Bialetti is the name brand. And I poured a little bit into a cup and I sipped it, and I was like, wow, this is like amazingly smooth. Like, it's not, I was like, oh, it's just a coffee maker. This isn't espresso. Cause if it was espresso, it would be. So I poured like a big heavy cup of it and like drank it and like fucking turned into cornholio because it was espresso. Like, it was, I drank like six shots of espresso in like 20 minutes because it was so fucking smooth. It just tasted like a cup of coffee. And I was like fucking Daffy Duck when he loses his shit in a cartoon because it was like so powerful.
So it's worth your purchase.
Oh, it's fucking, it was like $34. It's so awesome. It's going
to
be a new coffee.
Better than
I didn't know they made
AeroPress?
Well, that's different.
Radically different.
Espresso maker pressurizes.
Yeah. You screw it down. It pressurizes. It's got like a little pressure release valve in the bottom chamber.
Yeah.
And then the pressure forces it up through the grounds.
Right.
And you have a
special ground that, you know, a special coffee that you use. And then the grounds are finer. And so,
but you don't want to do them too. You don't do them as fine as normal espresso in this because it'll clog the filter.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So then that makes sense.
Totally legit. Super worth it.
$30 something.
I got it on Amazon.
Shit.
It's like $34. It's fucking legit. It was a great cup of coffee. I was so, I need to fucking back off.
It's like my arch enemy is Amazon.
Salad shooter. Speaking of Amazon.
Yeah. Well, you ordered it. I didn't. That's the only place I could get it.
I know. So were you saying you don't have to pay me now? Cause I ordered
it. No, I do need to pay you. I forgot.
Brad went on a diet. Brad spends money for diets. He got a salad shooter. He gets gadgets.
I don't like sitting there. One of the issues with that is like, you don't want to cut up all your stuff at the same time. So I just want to be able to, like, I'm very picky about my food. Like, not the taste of it, as the texture. So like, I won't eat carrots in slices. I'll eat it shredded, but you know, I won't eat it in slices.
Just don't fucking make carrots and don't use it.
Fuck that.
If
I have a salad, I want it a certain way. I want corn on it and I want
corn.
Yeah.
I just buy a certain thing, then I just buy what I want. I make it easy.
Yeah, you eat horrible stuff, though, and I would never eat it.
Like what?
You looked so hurt when he said that. You looked like the saddest puppy after he said that.
I just say one fruit, and that's avocado. I will not fucking eat that shit. I will hang every avocado from multiple trees. Somebody said on the painting I posted on Instagram, my tree with the moon, they said it looks like a perfect avocado hanging. It's going to happen or some shit like that. I was dying.
I think there's an army of people behind me, but I did run into some dude in jujitsu the other day that was talking shit on avocados.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. It tastes like fucking mushrooms, dirt.
I just eat that Super 7 salad now, that same shit. If you can get Super 7, if Super 7 would sponsor me, I would wear a shirt. That shit's good.
Fuck is Super 7?
It's like shitty seven superfoods. Says it's like Brad.
It's roots and shit. Like
fucking Chocodile Mountain Dew guy over here is fucking telling me my Super 7's bad. Yeah.
No, I didn't say it's bad for you. I said it's shit.
So it's somewhere between a Chocodile and roots and shit where this salad falls.
In all honesty, though, as of late, it's just a gallon of Yucateco, and that's what I taste because everything's just a transport system for my
Yucateco. For your hot sauce. Yeah,
exactly. So when Brent tells you about food, it's just he just puts fucking 9,000 gallons. I'm
like, this shit tastes like smoked, like roasted habanero.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That fucking Taco Bell burrito is roasted habanero.
How's that bologna sandwich? Oh, roasted habanero. Yeah.
I really do put it on ham sandwiches. Sure I use the green on ham sandwiches.
And the reason you couldn't taste the roach water in the last episode is because your taste buds are all fucking ate up.
It might be, but as long as I can taste Yucateco, I'm fine.
That's right. That's all he cares about.
He's That's not even a fucking pitch. That's like genuine fucking speaking.
Yeah. No, I know. No.
Like, if Brent,
that may be their shout out, but fuck, it's real.
If Brent divorced his wife, he's marrying El Yucateco.
Yeah, that's right.
The little Mexicans in the factory better watch out because he's going to try and fuck every single one of them.
We're
going to
come down here. He's going to be snuggling with the standee.
Yeah. He's maybe having little.
It's not even that I'm married. It's just that.
Brent's baby came out and he's sad because it's not a bottle of El Yucateco hot sauce. Like, that's how bad it is. Yeah. Threw it against the wall.
Poor babies. Babies get a bad rap on this.
No, I meant the bottle. It would break.
Fuck babies. Babies are assholes.
You don't want to be a baby on this show.
No. We don't invite. Yeah. They are. We tested them. If they don't make it, this is like Sparta. If they don't make it, then you don't deserve to live. Like, if you can't take a wall bashing, then you're out.
I just put Yucateco on their tongue right away. Yeah. That's why they're crying. I didn't slap
it's
them.
It's like against the wall.
It's a habanero christening.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we have an NFL punter in the room and he just fucking puts them on the tee. Phil Mickelson's in there with the golf club.
I can't even predict what the fuck we're going to say in the beginning of this shit. Like, every time I'm like, how the fuck did we get to NFL punting a baby and throwing Yucateca hot sauce against the wall?
It started with espresso, and we end with baby punting.
That is a natural
That's a
flow.
Natural thread.
Yeah, if
that's
every podcast doesn't have that, they're losing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Wrong. It'll be in the ebook.
Yeah.
That's right.
Look for it coming soon.
Yeah, just my prison sentence.
Chapter 5, baby punting.
Yeah. All I have to do is write books in here about how to punch babies correctly.
That's right. That's right. It's all about technique.
Yes. Speak inappropriately constantly when giving sponsor shout outs. Yeah. Demean them.
The 1-inch punch.
Punch babies.
How to intimidate babies. Yeah.
If you're not worried about losing your sponsorship, you're not saying the right shit.
Yeah. How to buy drugs from babies. Yeah.
If you didn't call him Punky Brewster, threaten to drag him by his hair across the room and motorboat his crotch.
Yeah. The 1-inch punch on a baby.
He specializes in iron-ons of dick pics on your pillows.
that might have happened.
Did he say that?
I said that. Dark Side Graphics specializes in dick pics, dick pic iron-ons for your pillow.
That's pretty good. I think people would buy those for sure.
I think so.
So the reason I say that, I have a funny story. Brian Ross, a longtime friend of the podcast, got into a prank war with his fucking roommate, and so they were just doing shit back and forth. So Brian took a dick pic and then went to the store like Office Depot and got iron-on. And then printed his dick pic and then ironed it onto
Brian's dick, I'm sure. His own dick.
No, it was his dick.
Yeah. He took a picture of his own dick.
And then he ironed it onto the pillowcase and then flipped it over so that when his friend went to bed, he woke up in the morning just like drooling on Brian's dick, right?
Because you flip it over during the night.
He woke up like, ha ha, bitch. But the best joke, I don't know what the other guy did to him. They went back and forth for months.
The other guy anal raped him.
Here's what went down. This is really good. This guy drank out of a giant tiki cup, like this wood, anything. It didn't matter. It was milk, Hawaiian punch, water, whatever the fuck he's drinking. He's drinking out of this cup. It's his favorite cup. Brian got butt ass naked and shoved all of his junk inside the tiki cup, and then had his girlfriend take a picture of him standing there with dude's tiki cup with his junk stuffed inside of it. And then he just held on to the fucking picture and let months pass. It was actually probably the first prank that went down.
Yeah.
But he held on to
starting. Yeah. This is like, did you put your drums on my nuts on my drum set?
Right, right.
Better not put your nuts. I'm watching Cops.
Why are you sweating? Yeah. I was watching Cops. So then he revealed it at the end as like the total Trump card, like kaboom. It was the Hiroshima of roommate jokes. And he found out he'd been drinking shit out of Falls Cup for months.
It'd have been better if it was like he had multiple pictures in different clothing, like where it was just like a constant. Different,
yeah,
they went on like every night.
Yeah, like he just got done jogging and then he went and put his fucking junk in
different like proof of life photos with newspapers with different dates to show that it was a regular occurrence.
He's got like Netflix DVDs that he just got next to it.
Yeah. You know? Like stuff that you can like
this see is what the I had date for dinner.
Well, if that was the A-bomb, my brother might have dropped an H-bomb on one of his roommates because they had a prank war that started horribly inappropriately involving pillow sheets and sexual liquids.
Ooh.
And it ended with my brother letting his roommate think that he won the war, but he was secretly showing everyone a Polaroid. My brother took a Polaroid of my friend's toothbrush up his ass.
Jesus Christ.
He stuck his toothbrush.
I thought that was like an urban legend.
No,
like,
he stuck my friend and his roommate's toothbrush up his own ass.
Did
and
he like
his girlfriend take
did
a
he
Polaroid
brush his polyps?
Like, and then pulled it out and then just let him keep brushing his teeth with it. And then he thought he won the prank war. And then my brother was just in the background showing everyone this picture and saying, just let him keep thinking he won the prank war.
Yeah.
God,
that was rough.
You know, it was very interesting to me, vibrating, you know, the toothbrushes, the electric toothbrushes.
I don't know what the fuck's about to happen.
No, I was just saying like the electric, like the Philips, you know, electric toothbrushes have gotten popular. A lot of people have them. Like women have started masturbating with the toothbrush. Like, you know,
you know this? I would imagine, but you know this for a fact?
I've seen it.
Okay.
Awkward silence.
It's a category.
I mean, I do it
on porn sites now.
It is toothbrush
amateur
masturbation,
electric toothbrush, bukkake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's right there between panties and black anal.
All right,
Colgate fetish.
Yeah.
Speaking,
well, there is special toothpaste.
That's true. Yeah.
Astro gums.
Astro guns?
Yeah, gums.
It's Astroglide. You wouldn't know, Dave.
No.
It's a sex thing.
Yeah.
Not, you got to have it.
It's not Afroglide.
Afroglide? That's
like he knew what Afroglide was.
X-rated soul glow is what it is.
Yeah, X-rated. Yeah. Let your triple X soul glow.
Oh, man.
So, speaking of soul glow, our topic today.
That has nothing to do with
it. No, I was just trying.
If anybody wants to call in and tell us what our topic is today, we'll be glad to hear it.
We'll be glad to hear it. Our topic.
Nobody's calling in.
Is one of the key, like, it was a conspiracy theory that turned out to not be so much a theory. And it, of course, is the Watergate scandal of the 1970s, Richard Nixon, et cetera. And I think if you're, I mean, people always, you know, want us to cover more conspiracies and so forth. And this is kind of one of the granddaddies of all conspiracies.
We're just late.
Exactly. We're just late. It's just that all of it ends up being fucking true. And again, this is something, you know, I knew Nixon fucked up. I knew there were tapes. I knew there was something about a break-in at a hotel. But I didn't really know
the word Watergate. My whole childhood, I was like, I understand what's happening. Watergate. Like, there's a gate that held back water.
Right.
I had this picture in my head. Like, what is Watergate? That word always messed with
me. Right. So I knew
trouble with water and gates, like with the pyramids. It's like, there's a gate.
That's
and water.
True.
Because that wasn't angry physics about it. Denied.
With
that
Bill
wasn't
going
to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had problems. But I didn't really know the details of Watergate in any significant level. And I was really surprised to find out that the cover up was a fucking million times worse than the thing that was being covered up.
Yeah. That's
it was
the
like, I
well,
mean,
this
it was,
is the, this, I honestly don't understand like what I understand. There was a cover up,
right?
Like and I'm still trying to figure out like what the fuck it was. Like they were covering up this thing that didn't happen or it was something that was going to happen that didn't, it was just nothing went on.
It,
like,
was what
weird.
A tangled web we weave.
Yeah, it was well, like no, some weird, like
some shit did go on, but it wasn't to the level that the original plan. So, okay. So we're talking 1972,
yeah.
Right? Summer of 1972, Richard Nixon is president and he's up for reelection. Right.
And let's point out something real quick is like Kennedy just got his fucking head blown off by probably the CIA.
Well, that's conspiracy.
So no, that's what I'm saying. So
he's like, still alive.
He's on Tupac.
That's
Island,
right. He is
him and Elvis.
Can't not yeah. say it. So Nixon's paranoid. Like he's fucking paranoid for good reason. But different people
he's
handle,
really
handle
paranoid,
paranoid right. in different ways.
Right.
But when you're the all powerful fucking commander in chief and have you know you think you're going to get away with shit,
and you're in a divided nation. Fucking Vietnam
you just
is
inherited
going
Vietnam.
On.
Like,
the Communist Party's still big. We just talked about this Tuesday,
right.
with Oppenheimer. But the Communist Party is still
that's
a,
still
a thing.
Like you know, and we're worried about the communists and we're
civil
in the middle
rights.
Of the Cold War. Civil rights is yeah. just
he's had a long.
Kind of
political career
winding down. Yeah. You know?
If anyone's ever watched House of Cards, like you definitely have some fucking enemies that you had to step on along the way to get
right.
to vice president,
right.
and then finally, because he was yeah. like what a congressman, and then he was vice president,
right.
and president. So I'm sure he made some fucking enemies
oh, fuck
along
yeah,
the way.
He did.
So he
yeah.
has like a list of fucking enemies he's worried about. Not,
well, I don't know that anybody in politics
doesn't make, have enemies.
Yeah, just ask yeah. JFK.
Right. Yeah, or don't, or just that's
real, that was not a
no,
real
that was evil. That was fucked up. You should ask his brother.
That was evil.
Your smile
was
genuine.
Yeah. You should ask his little brother.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
Oh, ooh. Ooh, I just saw him on TV. Oh.
So I don't know. Should we start with how it unfolded or should we start with what the original plan was that didn't come to fruition?
I think part of it is in 1971, the
Pentagon
papers got
yeah,
released.
I say we start there.
Okay,
yeah.
start
that,
with
that was part of the main cover.
I didn't see much about the Pentagon papers. So
you suck. You weren't really prepared.
So somebody inside the administration, like White House somewhere, leaks the what are called the Pentagon Papers.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with like the Truman administration and Johnson administration having...
You said Johnson.
I did. Intentionally expanding their Vietnam War efforts when...
It was basically the true reason we were in
Vietnam
War. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's like WikiLeaks kind of thing of their day with no internet. So this shit comes out and then it makes, you know, it comes out during Nixon's time and he's like, oh shit, like what's up with this? Like someone's leaking shit. So he creates this group called the Plumbers to fix the leak. Fucking real quick.
Yeah, I saw a thing about the Plumbers.
Yeah. So to fix the leak. So they create this group and it's this guy E. Howard Hunt. I got Howard Hunt and Gordon Liddy or Liddy?
Liddy. G. Liddy. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah,
Liddy,
G. Gordon yeah. Liddy. And they make this group to basically be
now,
like,
Hunt was ex-CIA agent.
I think that's
and
right.
And G. Gordon Liddy was an FBI agent. He was actually the youngest bureau supervisor for the FBI ever. So
he
we're talking about like straight
dicks.
Up fucking spooks, like straight up spies.
They were black?
Yeah.
Man. So with the Plumbers group, basically Nixon creates an enemies list and basically compiles a list of names with anything from politicians to even like celebrities and actors that might be a threat to his campaign. And then they actively harass and set out like tax audits for those people. So they send the IRS after him and like start auditing them and taking legal action to try to dissuade any type of person that might be trying to go against him. He takes a position of opposition and like offense before someone might possibly leak or do against him because they're so scared of what had happened with the Pentagon Papers that they want to prevent anything like that happening.
Right.
So he targets anyone he thinks might have something to do with it.
And this is all part of the reelection bid as well.
Yeah, because okay. So yeah, when those papers come out, he realizes they have a leak. You know what I mean? So then it's just a mission of like finding out who the fuck is talking.
Who's
to him,
right?
Who,
right.
Who did this? So it's really like the Snowden type thing. Yeah.
Well, there was a guy that went by the name of Mr. Deep Throat.
I know that's so crazy.
No, I know.
Okay,
we'll get to Deep Throat for okay. sure.
I think that
porn, we will.
That porn didn't come.
Oh yeah, we will. So, because the thing, did you guys read about this Project Gemstone?
I didn't see that.
So Project Gemstone is a thing that G. Gordon Liddy pitched, right? And he was requesting a $1 million budget to spy and sabotage on the upcoming election. And again, this is part of what gets implemented, but not to the level that they had originally planned. So the idea here is that Nixon is a Republican, so they're going against the Democratic National Committee.
Right.
Right. So Liddy's Project Gemstone was, there were different parts. Part of it was, and this is what he pitched, but wasn't fully approved. He had Operation Diamond, which would neutralize anti-war protesters with mugging squads and kidnapping teams.
Good Lord.
There was Operation Coal, which was supposed to funnel cash to Representative Shirley Chisholm, who was a black congresswoman from Brooklyn who was looking for a Democratic presidential election and trying to get like racial discord within the party. There was Operation Opal, which would use electronic surveillance against different targets, including the people in charge of the Democratic candidates. And then Operation Sapphire was a plan to station prostitutes on a yacht that was tapped and wired for sound, and then to put a bunch of the off of Miami Beach during the Democratic National Convention to bust Democratic people who were having sex with prostitutes that they set up in the first.
That's awesome.
So Gemstone didn't get approved. It got shot down. G. Gordon Liddy's big plan. And that ended up being instead of this $1 million madness.
That was an official plan?
This was a plan that G. Gordon Liddy pitched at the White House, but was shot down.
I was kind of wondering, like, why they have all these code names if some shady shit like
that?
Like,
how about we give all the Democrats AIDS?
Right, exactly. Like, it was just fucking madness. But I mean, this, like, when I read that, I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then I was like, okay, well,
What we're gonna do?
Yeah, but who votes on that?
Though? Yeah, what we're gonna do is infect all these prostitutes, these zombie prostitutes with AIDS. And we're gonna get the Democrats in the motel room.
It'll do it.
Yeah, so, and then call the fire marshal on
get
them.
Get her done. Get
I'm just curious who that's presented to. Like,
I forget. I don't have her name in here. It was pitched to someone in the White House. It wasn't the president himself. It was somebody else in the White House. It was someone involved in the reelection committee.
Apparently not Democrats. That was
part
like,
of it. No, it was part of the shit, Republican group in the White House. So it gets shot down, but that was $1 million plan. But instead,
actually pitched that to the Democrats.
Yeah.
So like, how do you guys want to go down?
How do you want to go down? Oh, hookers on a yacht, please?
Yeah.
I choose hookers on a yacht.
80-1.
Yeah. So, but instead, they approve a $250,000 budget that involves wiretapping and burglary to the Democratic National Convention. And that one is actually approved. So again, it's like I see Gemstone and I think that's fucking madness. That would never get approved. But the fact that the climate in the White House was so fucking weird and controversial at the time that that was even a proposal that was made, that people thought that was going to fly, like speaks to this presidency.
I didn't know that it was on the official like that. Because I saw on there, I read that they created the CRP, the Committee for Reelection for President.
And everyone called it CREEP.
And they called it CREEP, which is funny.
Which that was they don't even know if Nixon actually had any part in that. That was just the people that were on his campaign kind of created this thing by themselves.
Eventually they did learn, because while things were happening, all those tapes that eventually get released that they call the Watergate tapes, he implicates himself. He talks so part of this plan is to send people to wiretap the Democratic National Convention, the Democratic offices before, you know, to get information and sabotage it and steal files about the different members to do all this different stuff. And that one gets approved. And later on in a tape, when they're talking about the five burglars who broke in and did this, that we'll talk about here in a second, Nixon in a tape later on, shortly after the robbery, Nixon says, quote, of the robbers, that they need to get paid off. And he says, quote, they have to be paid. That's all there is to that.
Right.
And he's like talking like he knew what was happening. He knew what happened. He authorized a payoff to get them to shut up. And he's the fucking president.
And one of them was a high up like a member in, was it Congress or like an FBI guy or something like that?
I saw that the CRP had a slush fund and for illegal operations. Right. I just didn't know that they like wrote that shady shit out and said, hey, what do you think about this?
Wrote them a check.
Like that they so officially went about it like, oh, this is our plan. I thought they were just like, hey, man, we need you to go over and break in and put like wiretaps on the phones. I didn't know that they put out a fucking plan to do it and it got approved or not.
By somebody.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
And I read, and the two reporters who famously brought all this to light, Woodward and Bernstein, they wrote another article in 2012.
I remember it being Berenstain. That's weird. Yeah.
That's right.
Not Berenstain.
Not Berenstain. But they wrote an article in 2012 following up on some of this stuff, and they were specifically talking about the tapes that got leaked. And when they were talking about it, the article, they said, quote, talking about people in the White House, Nixon and the people he was talking to, they discussed a secret $350,000 stash of cash kept in the White House, the possibility of using priests to help hide payments to the burglars,
priests
washing the money through Las Vegas or New York bookmakers, and impaneling a new grand jury so everyone could plead the Fifth Amendment or claim memory failure.
These are all things
that were said in the tape. And Nixon was so paranoid about everything that he recorded everything, hoping to catch other people saying shit that he could bust them on. But in the long run, that paranoia is what fucking busted him, because he's talking about all this shit that he publicly denies, all this stuff. But it's like, it's fucking crazy. It's like, you want to talk about a government conspiracy? Like, this motherfucker was in the thick of it doing all this shit.
So they pay five guys to break into to the Democratic.
Yes.
Place the Watergate Hotel.
One security guard catches them, though.
It seems so lame. They taped the little thing on the door.
They taped the door latches so that it wouldn't really lock. Yeah, so they wouldn't really lock.
So anytime someone could have went to lock the door and be like, I can't
believe these are professional burglars. Like, I looked into this, I was like, though.
Like, some of them were like one of them was like the head of security for the Republican
for the reelection thing. Yeah. Like, so, they were White House like aides and assistants. They worked on the reelection committee and so forth. So.
And that's what really goes down, is that basically something happens. No one really understands what's going on. Five guys get busted for burglarizing and attempting to wiretap the Watergate Hotel.
So a security guard catches them or sees the tape and calls the police, and then the police show up and catch them. And when the five guys get busted, they all have thousands of dollars of cash in their pockets.
In their motherfucking pockets. Yeah. Like, he was like, here you go. And they walked straight over to do it.
Right.
Like, what the fuck? They carried the money in their pockets that they just got paid?
Right. Like, they're wearing rubber gloves.
Seems like a fucking setup. Like,
what were they wearing?
They're wearing rubber gloves so they don't leave fingerprints.
Well, that makes sense.
They just got done doing the dishes.
That's right. They've got files that they stole from the Democratic offices, and they've got wires to set up wiretaps on the phones, which is what they were doing. But what I learned is this is on June 17th, but in May they broke in the first time and planted wiretaps on the phones, but the wiretaps didn't work.
They went back to
Were really fucking bungling burglars, because this was their second go at it. The first time the wiretaps didn't stick, and then the second time they got busted trying to fix the broken wiretaps, right? So it's like, Jesus Christ.
This is a clusterfuck.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you had said something about them stealing psychiatric files or something.
Well, they were supposed to get into the psychiatrist's office to steal files of the Democratic Party members who've seen the psychiatrist.
I think some of the nominees, there was like four possible nominees on the Democratic side, and they knew there was one that he would beat for sure. So they were basically trying to have that be the nominee. I can't think of that guy's name right now, but they attacked the other ones by, like Brad said, trying to find medical records saying that there's something, you know, psychiatrically
wrong. Yeah.
Right.
Some private information to leak it. But they get busted. So, and then immediately connections are made to the Nixon administration.
One of the reasons the connection is made is multiple of the burglars have phone numbers in their pocket of the reelection committee's White House phone number.
Right.
So it's like they have a phone It's not just like some general random reelection campaign phone
number.
Back in the day when you had to have a fucking folded piece of paper with a fucking phone number.
They didn't have
you didn't have speed dial.
It was like, here's my business card. Oh, I'm really going to keep this business card.
Because I need that
911.
Yeah.
Right.
My grandma had those phones.
I had one when I was a kid.
And Baker, one of the burglars, was said to have, after they got arrested, to start talking to the judge about how all this shit went down and, you know, the president's kind of affiliation in the whole deal. And that's kind of what sparked
right
a deeper look into the thing. Right. So.
So this is what launches it, right? This burglary is what gets people looking. And then the media starts to get involved. Of course, why fucking wouldn't they?
Like, June 20th.
Just seems like a bad plan from the get-go. Like,
sure it was.
Can we murder all of them? Nah, let's shoot that one down. Can we break into the Democratic National Committee office and wiretap it for a second time? Yeah.
That
yeah.
seems like dude, a good idea, though. I mean, he wants to have those wiretaps in place so he can just sit
with
there
professionals,
hear
maybe. Like, these guys are fucks. Like,
yeah, these guys are
yeah,
bumbling.
Didn't he
idiots.
Have some fucking cool CIA guys?
You know what I mean?
They would have kept their mouth shut. They just do what they're right. told. Like, never, you know, never
like,
speak
I
about
just,
it.
Yeah. It's like, so G. Gordon Liddy and Hunt, like a CIA and an FBI
this seems
guy,
like an operation
like,
we could put
why
together.
Don't you send those two?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's well, these because they were fucking smart enough to not do yeah. it. I think.
Well, I just this seems to. Like an operation we can put together. We yeah, can probably exactly. pay some bums to go break yeah, into fucking get, Dagny's and get us some coffee.
Yeah, I can get. You need five you know? Guys. I can get five guys.
Yeah, I yeah. got five guys.
Yeah, you got $350,000 to pay them off with. I can get you five guys. Yeah.
Tape the locks. That's yeah. yeah, crazy.
Fucking great. So the on June 19th, 2 days later, the press starts to report that one of the burglars was a Republican Party security aide, which was the truth. And then
they're reporting on Hunt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of the things I didn't see anything else until August 1st. You saw something on June 20th?
It just said on June 20th, Washington Post started to report. So I'm a day off from yours okay. about Hunt and with and using their.
Well, I think the one on the 19th was the New York Times. Yeah, I think on the 20th. The Post, the Washington Post.
And that's where their anonymous source, Deep Throat, first comes into play.
Starts to show yeah. up. So one of the biggest things that they discover is a $25,000 check from the Nixon reelection campaign that was deposited in one of the burglars' bank accounts. Like, that's kind of a fucking yeah. smoking gun, if ever there was one. I mean,
he fixed my dryer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they've got thousands of dollars of cash. They've got this phone number. We're now making these connections. And we end up getting Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, who are two reporters at the Washington Post. And they start getting anonymous tips and putting together this huge story. And again, their big anonymous source is the guy who just calls himself Deep Throat.
Right.
And they don't know who the guy necessarily is.
They just know he can deep throat.
They just know he can deep throat. And they met in a parking garage and that happened. That went down.
It did go down.
If you know what I mean.
To the balls.
Well, they couldn't talk over the phone because he was really hard to understand. He was constantly,
I don't know how I was getting into Watergate and didn't ever think that we were going to have an inappropriate tangent about yeah. Deep Throat. I don't know how.
We didn't want that joke. That joke had to happen, though. Yeah. It was out of our control.
We can't write this shit.
No, I didn't yeah. make it up. So, and again, for decades, no one knew who this guy was, but all of the shit that he told them ended up coming true, right? So obviously, all that they knew was this guy is obviously a high up in the government. And it was kind of creepy because if they wanted to contact Deep Throat, Woodward would put a red construction flag in a flower pot outside of his apartment. And then that would mean
the red hooker
day,
light.
Right. And then the next day they would meet in the parking garage, which meant that he was under constant surveillance.
Yeah.
Because
Deep Throat should have put, yeah, because then Deep Throat had to walk by every day and check the fucking flower pot.
Yeah, exactly.
Days.
Well, exactly.
You know his name now. They figured out who it was.
No, they figured out who it was in 2005.
Yeah.
But then if Deep Throat wanted, and this was the kind of the creepy one, if Deep Throat wanted to contact them, then Woodward would open up his newspaper. He would get the New York Times every morning, and on page 20, there would be the hands of a clock would be drawn on page 20 of the newspaper delivered to his house at 7 in the morning if Deep Throat wanted to meet with them. So
the paper boy was in on it, or they were just lazy, not looking out the window when the paper got.
Or they didn't have a paper subscription. He would just throw a newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, and again, I was like, okay, either the paper boy's in on it, but I mean, I guess the obvious thing would be he would have already bought a paper, drawn that on page 20, ran up to the house, swapped the papers, took.
That's
off.
How you had to use to send dick pics too. You'd have to leave it in the flower pot in the front with a red flag, when you open the New York Times.
I'm kind of surprised dick pics survived.
Yeah,
that
wrong
era.
Address. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
ultimately, he even told him and Woodward and Bernstein wrote a book called All the President's Men. They made a movie out of it, et cetera, talking about what this was years after
Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman.
Yep.
And I watched some of it. There was like a highlight. It was like revisiting All the President's Men.
Yeah.
And it was like, the reporters, Bernstein and Woodward, were interviewed as older men and stuff. And they talked to Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman and how the characters, it was really interesting. I think I'll probably try to find that movie and watch it. It looks good.
I remembered seeing it when I was younger. And he even told him, so Deep Throat told him, like, look, based on what I'm telling you right now, when you start releasing these stories, your phones are going to be tapped at home.
Right.
Your phones are going to be tapped at work. They're going to start digging through your trash. They're going to start doing all this stuff. And he said, there's a very real possibility, if not a small one, that all three of us will wind up dead.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Like, so I mean, but if you want to proceed,
I mean, if you know
let's
history,
fucking do this.
Yeah, if you know history, yeah,
yeah. So I mean, hats off to the reporters,
right?
Because they were fucking balls deep in a conspiracy directly dealing with the president.
They were rookie reporters, actually, too. They were new to the game.
Yeah. So this, I mean, so Deep Throat again, looking at Snowden, like this is, I mean, he's basically, and it turns out he was an FBI deputy director, right? In 2005, his identity was revealed. He's a man named Mark William Felt, and he was the deputy director of the FBI. So he had all this stuff. So he was part of the people getting orders from the president. You know,
there's actually a movie coming out like this year called Felt about this.
Oh,
story.
Is there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy was, and I read a really cool article that talked about Felt's daughter. And it was this discussion of what happened in 2005. And I guess I want to say it was Woodward was covering McCain's presidential election in like 2000 or something like that, and showed up at his house because he, by this point, he's like 90 and he lives with his daughter,
right.
Felt was. And this guy shows up and the daughter answers the door and he says, hey, I'm here to talk to, you know, William Felt. And he's like, what's your name? And he says, my name's Bob Woodward. And she like doesn't think, oh, Bob Woodward, like, and
I
all this
the
stuff.
Interview with her. Actually,
oh, did you really? The,
yeah. Like, so he had come, several reporters were coming to talk to her dad. He's an ex.
Well, no, she said several reporters were calling because he was on a short list of someone who might have been Deep Throat.
Who might have known who Deep Throat was. Then she told someone, she's like, yeah, even like the guy from the Watergate scandal came to talk to my dad to find out if he knew who Deep Throat was. And the person's like, wait a minute, Bob Woodward came? He knows who Deep Throat is.
Right.
He wouldn't come to talk to your dad. And she's like, oh my God, my dad's Deep Throat. And so she asked her dad, and he's like old and frail, cane.
Right.
Like he's on his way out. And she's like, dad, you have to tell me. And he was like,
nope.
It's me. Yeah. No, he said, it's fucking me. Yeah, he said, no, it's me.
And my real name is Piero Caliente.
Piero. No, because he... And that was the thing, is she was like, afterwards, she was like, I can't believe I didn't put this together. A, he fucking said his name was Bob Woodward.
Yeah.
B, all these reporters have been calling to talk to, but, and then she even said it was odd because no one else showed up. No one came to the house, and they,
except
and
that guy,
she was like, obviously my father knew him. Yeah. They went out to, they went to like a farmer's market together. And then when they got back, he said, do you mind if I take your dad out for a dinner and drinks? And she was like, yeah, go ahead. And they went out and drank martinis and all this fucking shit, because obviously he knew, I mean, Woodward and Bernstein knew who the guy was the whole time, but they never,
divulged
the source. So by the time it was that point, you know,
Then she put together that nobody in the neighborhood could deep throat that cane like he could.
Right. She was like, damn, Pops does know how to deep throat.
I mean, the phlegm was all the way up to the handle, like right at the grip.
On an interview with the two reporters from the Washington Post as old men, they asked him, how did you guys keep it
secret so long? There was still like dry lip skin stuck at the top.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I might as well quit. No, they said, how did you keep it? How were you so successful at keeping it a secret? And they said, we didn't tell our ex-wives, because they were both divorced and they never divulged to anyone, not even their wives.
Right.
Yeah.
So, which they probably
can't tell anybody.
Yeah. Those bitches would have sold that shit to the New York Times. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
No, they sat on that shit for
Have you seen him
decades.
Swallow that cane? Of course it's Deep Throat, you idiot.
It's not going away.
The walker with the tennis balls, gone.
And again, some of this stuff, right? Like, it turned out in the tapes later on that all these reporters did, like five different reporters were getting bugged by the FBI on Nixon's orders. A bad piece was written about one of Nixon's friends, a guy named Charles Rebozo, and the editor of the
Bad
the
thing
magazine,
written was just his fucking name.
Hey, Rebozo.
Fucking Bozo.
But it was like questioning his financial connections and all this different stuff. And as soon as the article came out, Nixon ordered the IRS to start a tax audit on the editor of the news. So, I mean, he was just this fucking aggressive, hostile person abusing his position.
Yeah, he used the CIA, the FBI, and the IRS to just fucking.
Well, during the. That's people. That famous quote from the Frost Nixon interviews, which I watched some of it. I didn't see all of it. But he actually was quoted to say, if the president does it, then it's not illegal.
Wow.
So yeah. So like that's his famous, famous quote. So yeah. He's like, if he's doing it, it's because he has the power to do it.
Right.
And if he made the decision, he was put in the position because the people believe that he'll make the right decision. And if that decision is against whatever the law is, but it's for the betterment of good, then it's not against the law. Well, so he doesn't think putting a tax on that person. Kind of unconstitutional.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah.
Little bit.
Yeah. A little bit. Oh. So, I mean, even talking about the FBI and the CIA, like he was playing the FBI and the CIA against each other. Like once the investigations were starting, he was like telling the CIA directing CIA agents to like impede investigations of the FBI. Yeah.
Someone had advised him, I can't remember who it was, to actually tell the CIA to stop investigating the Watergate, the money
right.
from Watergate. And so that's actually ends up being his biggest defense, is the fact that he impeded like the justice system and told one department to like stop the other department.
Right.
That's where he made his fatal flaw.
Yeah.
Like he probably could have got out early and maybe, I don't know, because the tapes wouldn't have come to light. Had he like come clean or something and said, hey, this is going on. Like I knew about this, but I didn't know about that. Like right. maybe he could have got out of all that shit.
But I mean, the other thing is he kept going on air because this was a huge scandal. I mean, it wasn't like nobody knew about this shit. Once these articles started leaking, people were like, holy fucking shit. Is the president like doing all this stuff?
Right.
And multiple times, you can go to YouTube and see the speeches. He gets on air multiple times and explains all of it away and says, I didn't do these things. This was somebody else. I am not a crook. Like all this fucking shit that he said, like multiple times he came out. He came out on August 15th of 1973, because it took about a year for all this stuff to get, to come out. And he gives a speech, his second speech, denying any involvement.
Yeah.
And then in November of 1973, he ends up winning the election in a landslide because he's so convincing in his, there's not enough evidence coming out.
He's in all that trouble.
Yeah. Well, he's already committed obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they knew that they were like, fuck, we got to stop this guy, but it's going to take a lot of investigation.
Yeah. Oh,
but to be in light of all that, and clearly the money trails and the paper trails and all the shit that's going on and the things that he's saying that seems suspicious and all the involvement and his staff being involved, he still gets fucking reelected because they were successful in smearing those people, the people they were looking for. They got that one guy they wanted to run, and then he wins by a landslide. And then that guy gives like his acceptance speech at 2 a.m. or something and no one saw. There's a bunch of weird shit going on with it.
Oh, with McGovern.
It really like harkens like today's situation. You're like, you think like, oh, think of like the testament to the internet. That would never happen. But look at the fucking, I'm not going to dig into the current situation, but the shit that is happening right now and she's still going to fucking win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it's
not necessarily. It's, I mean,
like that's the Watergate thing going on. There's like fucking emails and the fucking, all that leaked information. And clearly the shit's going on.
Well, something like that, like today, that's going on with Hillary Clinton is that she shouldn't.
You can't say her name 3 times. She'll show up.
I wish.
She'll be in the fucking corner.
I wish.
Be careful what you say.
See what kind of deep throat she's got. Probably not very much, because Bill had to get somebody else to do that for him. Yeah. But I think that looking at all these presidents and like people of history, and you look, it's so fucking depressing. You know, like you think of America being this great place, and really it's just built on a bunch of fucking lies and assholes.
We didn't even pick those fucks. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't pick them.
No.
Like, one of them's going to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you say anything bad about it, you get a fucking letter from the Homeland Security.
On your door for posting shit on Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
That is fucking crazy. Yeah. That is insane. I can't believe it.
Yeah. God help us all in November. There's Jesus Christ, and God fucking help it if the fucking Cheeto wins.
The Cheeto. Who's that?
Which one is orange? Well, there's two candidates. One is orange. One is not.
For one, you're pretty orange. I don't know what you're talking about now. I'm actually lost.
I am not Cheeto orange.
You think Trump is Cheeto orange?
Yes.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard anyone.
Are you wearing blue blockers when you watch TV?
He's fucking orange.
You got as seen on TV.
He's a Simpson. Dave is a Simpson. So
Simpsons
like he sees
yellow.
He sees everybody else that's in Simpson color.
I'm starting to wonder, you might be colorblind. I'm looking this up right now.
I don't know. Maybe he was tanning on the day that Dave watched him.
Oh, my fucking stopwatch app failed me.
You know, I'm so much more looking forward. I don't want either of them to win, but I'm so much more looking forward to Trump just because he's going to say so much stupid stuff about women. It's going to be great.
It doesn't matter. He is.
Yeah.
Whether he wins or Hillary not, Clinton, that's not
Hillary Clinton's stop. Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then a lot of this comes out later with what Nixon's doing with the tapes, right? Exactly.
That's okay. The picture Dave so saw.
Clearly it's a thing.
I don't know.
Because somebody just put Trump's
his
hair
eyes
in,
aren't orange.
Like orange.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
So again, Nixon was paranoid, so he started taping everything. And one of the White House counsels, a guy named John Dean, gets pulled in by the grand jury. See, there's a picture of a Cheeto with Donald Trump's head on the top of it.
I didn't know this thing.
It's just bad lighting, I think. Like,
no, he's orange.
It's fake tan.
It's fake tan. Yeah, it's just over the top New Jersey fake tan is what it is.
Because there's a lot of them that he's not orange.
He's like a fucking tall Oompa Loompa. Yeah,
Bernie
is what he is.
Bernie looks like a Jew.
Well, he is. So he gets John Dean gets indicted by the grand jury, and he tells them Nixon tapes everything. Yeah. And everybody's like, are you fucking serious? And he's like, yeah, he tapes everything. Like all his phone calls, like all this fucking shit.
Sexual acts.
Yeah. So Nixon's lawyers start to say that executive privilege protects the tapes and no one should see these tapes,
right.
But they acknowledge the tapes exist, yeah. But that you don't get to see them. It's executive privilege,
which is stupid.
Right. So the trial judge who's doing all this stuff, John Sirica, doesn't like a lot of people back down and say, okay, we're not going to look for the tapes though. But the judge in charge, keeps going after the tapes. And there's an independent prosecutor named Archibald Cox, who's also going for the tapes, but then this leads to a thing. It's actually on our Facebook. Magdalena Barton recommended we talk about this thing, which was called the Saturday Night Massacre.
Before you said that, did you see how they found out that the recording thing exists? I don't know. We were talking about oranges. You might've said it already about his assistant, Alexander Butterfield.
No, I saw some stuff about John Dean. What's up with Butterfield?
Alexander Butterfield is actually Nixon's assistant. I watched some cool interviews with him because he said how clueless Nixon was when he was came into office. Like, he said that he sat at the desk and like he had to walk and bring the paperwork in to be like, you need to sign this and what do you want to do about this?
Right.
And like, Nixon was just fucking clueless, I guess. He would just grumble and be like, fucking like,
what are you looking at over there, Butterface?
That's a good Nixon.
Yeah. And he would just fucking sign the paper. Adam and fucking grump away. And literally,
he's like a fucking turkey behind the desk.
The Butterfield guy was trying to be like a professional grown ass, like ex fucking political. You know, he was like, I have to act to do this. I don't even know what to tell you. He just would grumble and make crazy noises. And
I'm not a
crook,
Butterface.
So, but because he's the president's like fucking assistant, he knows everything. He's like the fucking, he's Batman's butler. Like, right. He knows what the fuck's going on.
Right. Yeah.
So he's sitting in the barbershop getting a haircut, watching the fucking trial thing on TV. And Archibald is fucking sitting there talking or whatever, heading the investigation. And all of a sudden the phone rings at the fucking barbershop. And they're like, it's for you, Butterfield. And they hand him the fucking thing. He's like, we need you to come in and testify in 3 hours. He's like, you could fucking forget it. I'm not coming in there. And he's like, hangs up the fucking phone, and he sees on TV, because it's a live broadcast,
Butterface will be here in 30 minutes.
The fucking guy that he just talked to walks into the fucking screen and leans over to Archibald while he's fucking doing whatever.
Saying something to
whispers
him
in his
ear.
Fucking ear. The guy's Archibald's eyebrows go fucking crazy and he gets all fucking mad and says some shit back. The guy walks out of screen and the fucking phone rings again. Like, he's like,
wow. Holy
yeah.
shit.
He's involved in a TV trial.
And he's like, I just told him. And he's like, fuck yeah, I know. I saw it on TV. I saw it like happen.
Yeah.
He's like, that you will be down here or we're going to subpoena you and drag you fucking in here, right?
Bring on the subpoenas.
So then they show him in his testimony. He's fucking like, oh, damn. Like, he's nervous. He knows like this is the nail in the fucking coffin. He's going to have to tell some shit. And immediately they ask him about the tapes. He says he knows that they exist. And so that's actually where that shit came from, his assistant. But I just thought that the barbershop story in live TV was a cool way. That's the way the guy told the story.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was cool because he watched that shit go down. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. And they just fucking walk in screen, tells the boss, walks back out.
And this was Archibald Cox was the guy.
The head prosecutor is Archibald Cox and the other guy.
Right. They have names in this story. Yeah,
they definitely
Jesus
do.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking Tricky Dick, Archibald
Deep Throat,
Cox.
Dick, fucking Cox.
So, but the thing is, so Cox worked for the government.
Yeah. Right.
So Nixon.
Yeah, he worked right under Billy Balls.
Yeah, that's what he did.
I couldn't know.
No, he was just above Billy Balls.
Just right out in front of him.
That's right. And Billy Ball's assistant was Trevor Taint. who was a little bit lower down the chain.
Man,
I gotta put the clock back up so I can start writing down. I have no idea how far in we either. Are. I'm lost.
49 minutes. 49 minutes.
Yeah. So the president fires Archibald Cox because he keeps pursuing the tapes.
He tries to fire Archibald Cox. This is where that Saturday Night Massacre comes in. He tells the attorney general to fire him, and the attorney general goes, I'm not fucking doing that.
You can suck a dick.
Yeah, you're trying to fire him because you don't want to get the fucking tapes. Like, I'm not doing it. Like, something's up.
Right.
So he resigns, and then he tells the next guy, you go fucking fire him. And that guy resigns till finally he gets down to like some fucking sweaty dude. You should see the interview.
Yeah. It's
fucking
that guy's an asshole.
This guy is like, fuck. He does it. He goes ahead and fucking fires the guy. It's clearly like a move, right?
Right.
It's like a hit. It's like that guy's trying to get tapes from me. I'm saying no. And then he gets fired. Like the next night, he's not going to just pursue it. You're just delaying the inevitable. Right. So they show the interview of this guy fucking after he fires the fucking Archibald guy. And I swear to God, it's like a bucket of fucking water got poured on that guy's head.
He took like, the fucking ice bucket
like,
challenge.
He's like, I can't resign. He's more worried about getting killed or something or knocked off. So then he fires him. But yeah, it ends up firing like the fucking attorney general, the main fucking prosecutor, the lawyer or something for the fucking White House. It's all those guys. Like,
and they call it the Saturday Night Massacre.
Yeah, it's Haderman, the Ehrlichman, the attorney general, Richard Kleindienst or whatever. Kleindienst. Another German. Why do I always have German? All those guys had German names. There's something going on there.
Yeah. Either Germans or Chinese.
And then the White House lawyer, John Dean. That's American as fuck, man. That's like sausage and shit.
So the only person who survives the purge is the trial judge.
Yeah, the other
who's
guy.
Who's still pushing for it.
Yeah, and fucking Nixon.
Right.
And the fucking sweaty balls guy for a little while, I guess.
That asshole.
So it ends up coming to the point that they keep indicting, the grand jury keeps indicting members of the White House staff. They get more and more confessions as they're breaking people. And then in July of 1974, the Supreme Court orders the president's office to release the tapes.
Yeah.
But
eight out of 10 voted against it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But he doesn't release the tapes.
I thought he gave up the tapes.
He gave up the tapes. But the problem was they had cuts.
Yeah.
Like they weren't the full
gave
tapes.
Up incomplete tapes, and then they said we want the whole tapes, and he keeps just dragging his feet and making excuses.
Did you
and
see
all
how
this
they tried
shit.
To blame the secretary for deleting the tape?
No.
So I don't know where I watched a million little fucking documentaries and clips from this, but they the secretary tried to take the fall to say she accidentally deleted the tape while answering a phone call, and you should see the calamity of shit. She had to sit at the desk in the Oval Office or something to do it, for one, which I don't know if that happens. She said she hit record instead of something else on the thing, and then has to press a foot pedal
instead of high speed dub,
and then has to like stretch her leg like a goddamn fucking ballerina over to fucking 6 feet over to reach the phone. They made her like reenact the thing of how would you record this, and then hold that position for 18 minutes while pressing a pedal while accidentally doing this or something. So they're like,
didn't go down that way.
They go, nope.
And then at this point, like, all this evidence is out, all this shit. The president just keeps lying, keeps spinning, keeps threatening people, intimidating people, fucking sicking the IRS on people, the FBI on people, just like gross abuse of the office. Again, if you want to talk about a conspiracy theory, like at the government level of manipulation, this is it, you know?
And really all for what though? Like all for what?
Right.
All for what? That was my main fucking question. Like they did all this shit to try and just get him into office.
So he could smear the Democratic Party.
He probably
would
have won anyway.
Yeah.
This
fucking Watergate shit is like this is nothing compared to shit that's went on. You know what I mean? Like who killed fucking Kennedy? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're just
Kevin Spacey pushed that girl in from a train.
Yes, I saw that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's House of Cards.
Okay. I don't watch House of Cards.
That's a good show. You like
no,
that show.
I'll watch it. Yeah. Except now it's ruined because I know someone's going to get pushed in front
of
a train.
Old, yeah. They all die.
So that's right. The zombies eat them.
Somebody gets elected too.
Somebody.
So on July 27th in 1974, they have a vote to determine whether or not they should impeach the president. And it goes 27 in favor of impeachment, 11 against impeachment. and they end up impeaching the president, and
he knew he was fucked.
Yeah, he knew he was fucked. Yeah. And on three counts, obstruction of justice, which was the fucking around with the FBI and the CIA and all that shit, abuse of the presidential office, and refusal to turn over evidence as demanded by the Supreme Court. So those three things.
He doesn't actually get impeached, though. He resigns in lieu of impeachment.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. He got the vote for impeachment happened, and then he resigned.
You're fucking fired on Friday. And yeah. He's like, well, yeah, I'm quitting on Wednesday, bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. So, but then of course he ends up, you know, welcome to the circles of high power. The court is still happening. These right. are still crimes he has committed. And 6 weeks later, the new president, Gerald Ford, gives him a full pardon and yeah. says, peace. Which interesting, cool.
Gerald Ford was the first president to not get voted into vice presidency. And then the first president to not get voted into presidency. So he had both those. Oh, he took
the place of vice president.
Yeah, because the vice president had died. Something happened to the vice president. I believe he had died. And then Nixon appointed Ford vice president. And in that, and then he fucking resigned. So he's vice president. So he's now the president. So he was he's the only president in history that didn't get voted into office vice president or president.
Wow.
So pretty interesting.
And then Nixon's the only president to ever resign, too.
No, he's the second. No, is he the only one?
No, he's the second one
to get impeached.
He was the second one to get impeached.
Andrew Jackson got impeached, right? For sympathizing the South or some bullshit like that.
I have no idea.
I think he was the first one, and then he was the second one. Yeah.
He didn't actually get impeached, though. He quit.
No.
Right.
Or he got fired.
Well, the impeachment proceedings happened.
He got voted
to be impeached, but he resigned. He was the first president to ever resign from his job. Yeah. And again, this all deals with Watergate and the name of Watergate. I mean, it almost seems insignificant. It's just the name of the fucking hotel that these people broke into. Yeah. Like it really, and I mean, it's a weird name.
Tie that name to every bad thing that happens now.
Yeah. Like, Hillary Gate.
Yeah. No, everything is a something gate. Yeah. Like, I was, what was it? I was looking up Watergate.
That's just very not creative.
When I was doing the research and Mayo Gate.
The fuck is that?
Like I was like, I looked up like the third Google was a company that was allegedly buying mayo before a stock release to inflate its own numbers or something. God. And it's Mayo Gate. So it's like, you can just fucking call anything something gate.
It's anything that's bullshit basically is.
Yeah. I mean, anything that's a cover up. People will say is a something gate, like, you know, but I mean, but again, you know, some of the earliest quotes I saw were that tons of people said the cover up was infinitely worse than the crime.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, that's because even the crime itself,
just petty trying to spy and fucking they do that shit anyway.
Well, here's the thing. A typical politician would have been Teflon about this because they would have been like this fucking guy, G. Gordon Liddy and the fucking CIA guy. And they cut a deal with someone who's in the reelection group, but the president had nothing to do with it. It was this woman
who's running the reelection group.
We can't tie it back to the president, but this dumb motherfucker tapes himself talking about all this shit, implicating himself. And then the tapes are out there.
And how the fuck did he get voted into presidency? Like, I'm not understanding. Yeah. Like, this guy is half retarded. I mean, literally.
Look what's going on, man. It doesn't matter. Like, it does not fucking matter. You can be full.
Clearly. Fucking retarded and get elected, quite obviously. Again, and it's like,
hasn't stopped since.
No, like, I look at things like this and it's like,
Bush to
I look at things like this and like everybody, like we always think that we're better than shit that happened in the past. Like that tends to be what, like, oh, that shit will never happen again. Something like Watergate. We're too savvy to let something like that happen now. Yeah, it's bullshit.
It happens all the time.
It's happening. It's happening right now, every fucking day. It's like, no, this is the nature of politics. It's just that this guy wasn't.
We got to get rid of this shit.
This guy wasn't big enough to swim with the sharks. Yeah. Is what it fucking comes down to. Like he wasn't good enough to pull it off.
The pawn.
I think most people at that level would have completely defrayed this, and it would have bounced onto somebody else. But he just he was so paranoid yeah. and he was so into trying to cover it all up that every cover up led to another paper trail of a cover up that led to another paper trail of another cover up. And it just ended up unraveling on him.
Yeah. He got pulled over for taillight and shot the cop.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's exactly what fucking went down.
And then stole the cop car and put the cop in the trunk.
Yeah. Right. And this is really one of the things that starts the ballooning of conspiracy theories, because at this point you're sitting like this era, it's like fucking Kennedy just got assassinated. The other Kennedy just got assassinated. Yeah. All this shit's going down. You've got this lying motherfucker in the White House. And now it's all of a sudden people are just looking for conspiracies because they're here.
Yeah.
I mean, this is fucking madness. Like I didn't know much about Watergate going into it. I thought it was like a huge crime that he covered up. I didn't know what was, I mean, it was a huge crime.
I thought it was about money. Like,
it was still a huge crime and he was obviously involved. But just the cover up, the bungling attempt to sweep it under the rug is what really fucked everything up.
Fucking idiots all around, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that what we got?
That's what we got.
It always ends so abruptly.
It's just like, that's it. Peace. Bobbity, 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 man. I'm out. Mm-hmm. Drop the mic.
Before we forget, because I'm going to forget, we got a really cool gift from a fan.
A real super fucking cool.
Justin Cox from Georgia.
The fuck with the dicks?
You know what we got.
I know.
He was just with the penile last names are still continuing.
Oh, yeah. Cox everywhere, man. Sorry, Justin, to taint you. You know the show. He gave us a lot of wood.
He did.
Oh man!
It came in a really big package.
It did. Man, you couldn't be happier, probably, Justin. I bet. So I walked into work, and there's like this giant package
right in your face.
Yeah, and then
just walked right into it.
So I opened it up, and I was like, "What the fuck is this? This thing's heavy." That's what she said. And then I pull it out, and it's something super. It won't quit.
You're not helping.
Shit's gonna go all night. I'm trying.
Sorry.
I'm gonna post a picture of it because words clearly can't describe it. But he handmade this gift for us while listening to our podcast in the evenings, which is super fucking cool.
Hand tooled, yes.
No, he made this fucking thing for us. It's basically the state of California cut out of old pallet wood that he put together and stained in sort of like a picture frame. But the trippier thing was I flipped it over and
Sofa King logo.
Yeah,
he cut out our Sofa King logo.
So we'll put a picture up. And then, but when you turn it over, the thing is this dude's from Georgia and he like looked up Bakersfield and the story behind it.
Yeah.
Like I sort of knew that. I didn't really know that whole story though, to that exact, you know, and then he signed and everything. It's really nice. Like it's amazing. We'll find a spot for it in the studio and hang it up.
But the problem is both like the front and the back of it are both equally awesome. So it's hard to decide which side to
face. That was a plan. So he knew we'd have to hang it like in the middle of the fucking studio.
That's not happening.
We'll flip it over. We'll rotate it or something.
We will. Like,
we'll put a little picture of the back of it on the front of it or something.
And then vice versa. So. It's really badass though. Super, super shout out.
And in days of technology, he hand wrote a letter to go with it.
Which was cool.
So thank you to him. Chris Willis, if you drink a whole bottle of moonshine, don't send me messages on Instagram. Because that guy, we love him.
You know what though? You should just start getting real creepy with him. Just fucking
I don't even want to entertain it.
Send him a picture of your hairy butthole. Like, see, you know.
I wish I was more prepared and I could read him, but it might be like an invasion of privacy. It makes no sense. Chris Willis from San Diego, we love you. But you should go back and look at your messages inside Instagram because you were drunk texting me because that shit was just a calamity of like there was numbers in the middle of fucking words and shit.
Yeah, you weren't messaging a really ugly girl. It was Brent.
Yeah, it was right. Me. If I had a wig on, I would be a really ugly girl. That being said, the other thing I wanted to say was if you haven't given us a review on iTunes, we would really, really, really appreciate it. It helps us a lot. We got a hater last week. I'm not going to like target anyone because I don't want to perpetuate the hate. But somebody gave us a bad review. And if you like us and you're our fan and you wanted to be part of our army, you could go click on that person's review on their name and it shows who they reviewed. Yeah. If you click on our bad review, You can say, I want to report a concern and that this review, yeah. that I don't agree with this review, and you can state a reason. I would suggest, if one were to do so, just to say that it was an inaccurate statement, because honestly, the mm-hmm. person listened to 5 minutes of the podcast, and I'll go ahead and tell our true fans, one thing they were mad about is we mispronounced someone's fucking name. So that's pretty much like our thing. We fucking do that on purpose. You know what I mean? So that's one thing. And they were mad because the book, we said a book cost, the 411 book cost $60.
Oh, I know who fucking did that, because they posted some on Facebook too.
Oh, find it. Because they said, yeah. that book doesn't cost $60. I happen to own a copy and I only paid $20. What the fuck?
For you. You're
going to give us a 2-star review because we said a fucking book cost $60 on Amazon and you happen to get a copy for $20 and we mispronounced the fucking guy's name Pilates to be funny? You know what I mean?
You're starting to scare me. You're kind of drunk on power like Nixon.
I know where they
right
live.
Now.
I know where they live.
He's drunk on power like Nixon. Yeah,
and people don't forget that I used to be a computer programmer, and Brent owns a computer shop, and we know people.
We have a particular set of skills.
We have a particular set of skills.
And
that's exactly what we're saying.
I own a computer.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll borrow Dave's computer and use it.
We'll borrow Dave's computer.
Yeah.
And I'll fucking get back into this shit.
But no, if you're feeling froggy and you want to downvote that one, if you report a concern, it'll actually take it out of our thing. It'll take it, vote it to the bottom. And that 5-star review you do right after that will help our ranking only go to average.
You're a whore.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there.
And I do want to give a shout out. We posted for people to ask to give us some feedback on Watergate. And I do want to give a shout out to Steve Baker, who said a couple of different things, and he asked if we would cover the Frost Nixon debate, but that it got too boring and he fell asleep. To which I say, if it was so boring you fell asleep, then fuck
we're not
you. Why
it,
do you think I want to watch it?
I watched
so,
some
but I
of
will.
It.
I do want to. He made multiple posts, so shout out. Thanks for engaging.
Yeah,
so.
Nixon almost actually has an apology in there. He admits guilt and says that he has regret and stuff. So it's it was pretty interesting.
Bullshit.
You can find that 7-minute part.
Hey guys, fucking Nixon's a piece of shit.
The best thing about Nixon is the fact that in future. Futurama, they have his head in a jar, and he's really funny in Futurama.
He says,
"Yes, he does."
He's on heads on a turkey body
somewhere.
Sponsors?
Yeah, is there no one else we need to thank?
Nope.
No, just thank everybody for listening. We're doing really well, and we're going to continue to pump out shows. And thank you.
Yeah, tell your friends. Yeah. And please, everyone, don't take us too seriously.
I don't like us so well. Yeah. If you listen this far, you probably like us. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think people come into it and they're like, what the fuck are these guys doing? Gary Coleman, what? They don't get the inside joke. Or they're like, why are they saying that? Yeah. So anyways, thank you to LU Tech. I cannot talk. Jesus fucking Christ. How many whiskeys have I had?
Yeah, bad reviews on iTunes all around. Yeah. Everybody. That's right.
He couldn't say his own sponsor's name. Yeah. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can get t-shirts and all kinds of stuff on their gear store. You can get their hot sauce on the gear store. It's available at most major retailers.
Oh, I did want to say thank you to Sarah for sending me a hat. I told her I wanted a hat. She said,
nice.
And I think we got some hats on the way too. Yeah. So thank you to them. You can get their stuff at Walmart, Target, most major grocery stores. I mean, I have successfully navigated people in Canada and the UK.
Australia.
Australia, you can get it, but it's $9 fucking dues for a bottle, as we see it constantly. Yeah. So
that's only $3 in American dollars. So
So, but I think you can just order. There's probably some custom shit that gets you when it comes in.
Yeah.
But if you can find El Yucateco, find it, and if you like it, tell us thank you and post it and tag El Yucateco so they know that we told you about it. We'd like to thank Digital Creations. Talk to our website guy. Our website might be coming up. I know we make a lot of promises, but pretty soon it's coming up and we're going to have merch. And we thank them in advance for the stuff they're going to make. Dark Side Graphics, Punky Brewster, always making iron on dick pics. And PrintDirtCheap.com might be working on some temporary tattoos for us and some new stickers, some new sticker designs and t-shirt designs coming out. Salt 7, Float Sensory Deprivation Center. If you're in Bakersfield, the surrounding area, check them out. And Camarillo Jiu Jitsu. Check out armhunter.com for instructional DVDs and apparel. And if you're local and you can find us, me and Brad will be there at 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You can try to choke us. If you're better than us, you will choke us, but I'm going to do my damnedest to choke you back.
Now you'd be better than me. You're not choking me.
No, probably not going to choke Brad. You might get me, but if I'm on a good day, watch out.
I might get he'll owe you a burrito.
Yeah, if I take my pre-workout, man, I might fucking crank that Kamara too fucking hard, man.
Kamara.
I'm fucking talking in an accent. I'm allowed to say Kamara, man.
So anyways, I'm writing a bad review.
Yeah. So I think that's all of our sponsors.
We have a lot of sponsors. God damn it.
We do. But we get a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, is that it? I'm ready to go home.
Sorry for the crickets. There was lots of them.
Yes. We did have a war with
If this, one excuse, if this podcast seemed in disarray, it's because we stopped it fucking no less than like fucking seven times chasing crickets with electronic raid and throwing water bottles and a fucking guy practicing drums in the middle of the fucking podcast. We had to stop a lot. So yeah. Sorry about that.
Don't be a retard.
And I want to say this to the television audience, yes, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook.
Super fly, super wise.
Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've done.
Now all my fellas and fly looking women throw them deuces in the air. Don't they do that Richard Nixon? I be chilling in the club, posted in the back, and I keep that old school presidential swag. Yeah, I play the game, break the rules. Richard Nixon, 22.
I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got. I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got.
We put the show right the crowd, then we getting paid. Better know the drill like starting players after 2 days. I'm down in Tallaho, and then I hit the A. I got that endless flow, boy, I could spit for days. I keep the whole club jumping, Griff got the bass bumping. We be stunting so you can't say nothing to my face. I'll rock them shades, 80 of the frames cover up my vision. I got them deuces in the air and I throw them up like Richard Nixon, boy. I ain't a crook, but I steal your girl. Walk around town like it's my world. And I be down every time I swear. The thing that I bang is the only thing heard. And I be well known. Leave your eardrums ringing like a cell phone. Looking for a dime, so I'm moving that staircase. Gotta be 18, I don't need jail, babe. Boy, you could go harder, hey. But you won't bring me down like Watergate. They hear me coming from far away. And they get hype whenever it's time to play. My pitch black paint dripping, falling like I'm Bill Clinton. But with 22s, call me Richard Nixon. I play the game, break the rules, Richard Nixon, 22.
I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got. I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got.
I'm rolling in them limo tinted windows, I'm above the law. Shutting down the block like a parade on Mardi Gras. It's never off, I go to sleep, it's on standby. You verse me every time, landslide. They politic, but no, it doesn't bother me. I hit them all and I can stimulate the whole economy. And honestly, I couldn't tell you who is hate. And I got a 99.9% approval rate. And got the Democrats, Republicans, and independents loving him. Polls open up, they rushing in. Nobody in the game touching him. I'm chilling in the club, your little mug ain't got me nervous. Cause I rode so deep, like I came with Secret Service. And I fly in a G5 plane, just like a broken pendant. Your boy's on the chain. And if you think not, I bet your girl think different. She wanna know my name, just tell her Richard Nixon. Play the game, break the rules, Richard Nixon, 22.
I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got. I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook, I'm not a crook. I earned everything I got. And I want to say this to the television audience. I made my mistakes, but in all of my years of public life, I have never profited. Never profited from public service. I've earned every cent. In all of my years of public life, I have never obstructed justice. And I think, too, that I can say that in my years of public life, that I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.